As I was praying about what we should share, the thing that came to mind is something that is priceless to me. So I just look forward to getting to share it with you. And I'm trusting God that as I step aside right now and release Him, that He will communicate to every single one of you in a way that I could never hope to do. Because there's no way I would know your heart needs. But He does. And there's no way I could say something and it apply to every single one of you. But let me tell you something. Tune in. Because I'm planning to do that. I am believing that God is going to speak to each one of us something that we need at this point in our life. And something that, as we lay hold of that, make it a part of our life, it's going to be different from here on out in some way. Now, I wonder if we shouldn't just take a minute and the worship has been good at pointing us to Him, but I find a lot of times that there's such a hurry to get away from home, and there's so many details we've had to take care of, and as we finally sit down, before we get to relax, we begin wondering already, what's happening back home? Are the kids really all right? Is my husband going to, you know, take care of them, or is he okay, or just all kind of things? Well, let me tell you, don't be surprised. The enemy doesn't want you to tune in. So let's just take a minute and just gather up all those thoughts, those things that could be a distraction. I want you to close your eyes with me, and let's do that. Anything that could be a distraction to you, I want you to just kind of gather those thoughts together in a little pile. And as you do that, get them in your hands. Now, I want you to just see yourself releasing those in the hands of the Lord. Just give Him all those distractions, those little niggling frets that would keep you from being able to hear His message to you. Can you see yourself just giving those to Him? Okay. Now, look up, and I want you to know, I declare to you right now that they're in good hands. Better than if you still had them. So let's just tune into ourselves, where we are, and just really expect to meet the Lord here. That's another thing I'm trusting, that before you leave this place, that you will have encountered Him in a fresh way or a renewed way. A lot of times we don't need to hear anything new. We just need to be reminded of things we've already known and just let slip away. So let's tune in and listen. Anybody had any problems lately? As these thoughts began forming in my mind, I thought, well, Lord, you really do want to relate to us all, don't you? And He does. have you realized lately that he really cares about you? He doesn't just care about your children or your husband or that friend with cancer, or he doesn't just care about all those other people out there. Have you realized lately that he really cares about you? As a matter of fact, it's so you are so important to him. I thank you. He cares about you so much that as a heavenly father, he longed for each of us to experience peace. And that peace cost him a tremendous price. Because you see, the only way that you and I could experience that peace was for him to be willing for Christ to die. His son died for us. Because the very first step in us experiencing peace along the way in life is to have our peace established with him. Now, before we go into that any further, I want us to just think a little. I want you to help me, okay? Get your mind in gear and begin thinking of what is peace to you? What are some of the words that come to mind when you think peace? Say them out loud. What? Without worry. Very good. Free from problems. What? Contentment. Assurance. Rest. When you think of peace, what do you think of? Just a few more, because I want us to think of it in many aspects. Yes? I heard another one.
Tranquility.
What? Tranquility. That just sounds peaceful, doesn't it? Just to say the word conveys peace in a way.
Guilt-free.
Guilt-free. Right. What?
Safety.
Safety. Right.
Quiet.
Quiet. Right. That can be quiet from the crying baby. Quiet from all the noise around us. But the quiet that is most important is the quiet of our heart. That's the kind of quiet we're thinking about this evening. Some of the other words that had come to my mind as I was thinking about it was unity, because a lot of times there's division in relationships, and when there's no peace, there's unity. Concord. Freedom from disturbance or agitation. contentment of the heart, and a heart not troubled or fearful. And there's a wonderful verse that just speaks to these things. But let's think for a minute what peace is not, because I think this is very important. If we don't allow ourselves to get overcome and all uptight and just be worry warts, there is also the tendency, on the other hand, to be unrealistic and just kind of live in a fantasy world, like I've got a perfect husband and perfect kids and a perfect home, and you know, and that ain't true, lady, if you think it is or not, I'm telling you. So you're just living in a delusion. He can be wonderful and they can be great, but they're not perfect. And you need to be tuned in to the realities of life. Peace isn't being unrealistic. Some people have a tendency to slip into unrealism. Another thing it's not, and we need to ward against this, it is not resignation. Well, that's just the way it is, and I'll just make the best of it. That's not peace. Did you know that when the angels declared to the shepherds that Christ was coming, one of the first things they said that he's come to bring peace. Peace on earth. Peace is something that God has provided and promised. We've thought about some of the things peace are and some of the things that peace are not. But peace is a promise and provision from our Father. I want you to know that. So, for a long, long time, I did not understand that. Now, every person, God has provided peace through Jesus, in order for us to establish peace with God. And I don't know, but there could very well be someone here tonight that has a troubled heart. The burden of sin is weighing you down. And maybe you've been looking at Christians, some that are experiencing peace. And if you really told the truth, that's why you're here. You're searching for a bit of this peace that you've seen in some of the Christians around. Well, let me tell you, the first provision of peace that God has for you is peace with Him through Jesus Christ. And He tells us in His Word in John 1:12 that if we will receive Christ into our lives, then we will become children of God. He will plant His life in our lives. And we can have the life of God. We can be, that's what being born again is when He plants His Spirit in our spirit. And we are born again. Peace is established by having the sin that has separated us from God taken care of by the blood of Christ. And we see that and we recognize our need and we realize we are very troubled. We are anxious about death. We don't know what to do. If We've heard Jesus was coming. I remember that's how I received the Lord. I was just a young girl, and I went to Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher said, Jesus is coming, and you better be ready. Well, I loved Jesus, but I'd never done anything to get ready. And I was so disturbed, the only thing, she didn't tell me how to get ready. And that bothered me and bothered me until vacation Bible school. That last day, we had that special service, and I was told how to get ready. Well, I was so relieved, and I was so anxious to receive the Lord and have established my peace with God, because I was not at peace. I had a very troubled soul. And so I can still remember how relieved I was and how anxious I was to receive Christ. And I did at that time. So my peace with God was established by receiving Christ as my Savior and into my life. I found that there's some very wonderful things about peace. Remember, I've said, and I want you to really get hold of this, peace is a provision that God has for every one of His children, and it is His provision means that we can walk in peace. Are you walking in peace? Well, that's what, to me, peace, this is one of the ways I look at peace. Peace is really my most prized possession. You say, how can peace be your most prized possession? Isn't that a little off? Well, I'll tell you why I say peace is my most prized possession. Because when I have peace, true peace is an indication that things are right with God. Because if they're not, there's no peace. And true peace means things are right with other people. True peace means things are right inside. It also means that I'm right with my circumstances. That's why I say peace is my most prized possession. And listen, ladies, we need to do anything that's necessary to maintain that peace with God and with others. Another way I think of peace is, Phillips. J.B. Phillips, the translator, one of the translators of the newer New Testament, says, peace is our referee. Now, this is a way that I know when my peace is gone, I think, uh-oh, Johnny, where's your peace? Well, God just blew the whistle on you. Stop and see what's wrong. When your peace is gone, God just blew the whistle. Now, I'm wanting you to see, and I'm going to repeat this all along until I feel like you've gotten hold of the fact that you are really given the promise of God and the provision of God to experience peace in your life. And if you're not walking in peace, there's some reason for it, and you need to stop and find out what it is. Now, sometimes when the referee blows the whistle, it's because there's been an infraction of the rule. And that's where I usually start, Lord, what did I do wrong? You know, a lot of times there's been an infraction in the rule. And that's why I'm not at peace. Sometimes when the referee blows the whistle, it's to get your attention. Now, I found this just in daily walking. This is where it's important to me. Just in the daily routines of life. When I found out that God really meant that I didn't have to fret and stew, that I did not have to be uptight and anxious, that I didn't have to... I tell you what I used to do. When a situation came up, I would try to be very, very intelligent about working this thing out, and I'd look at that thing and I'd figure from every angle I could figure what the best thing possible, best way that thing could be worked out, and I would really consider it seriously. I'd meditate on it. And then when I came to my conclusion, I'd say, now, Lord, would you help this come to pass? What I'd figured out. Doing the best figuring I could. Any of you ever do that? Well, there is a better way. And I want you to lay hold of that better way. Because by then, I was worn out. Anxiously, fearfully analyzing and making sure that I had come up with the very best solution possible so I could tell him what to do for me. Oh, me. Well, that's why peace means so much to me. To realize God's got a better way than that. Now, not only is peace our referee, but another way to look at it is peace is our thermostat. You find yourself getting angry? Well, the thermostat says it's getting too hot in here. You need to cool off. Because you're not at rest when you're getting all stirred up. And when you're letting an agitated spirit get hold of you. And you're getting really bent out of shape. Are you at rest at that time? What about peace? It just went out the window. And our thermostat says it's time to cool down. Or you're not going to have peace again until you do. But what? It's just as sensitive to the times we cool off. Our relationship with the Lord begins to cool. Or our relationship with someone else begins to cool, and it shouldn't. We have allowed something to maybe just take priority in our relationship with the Lord, or that husband, or that friend. It might not be anything bad, but it just begins to cool off. And the thermostat will let you know, because you're not at peace when you see that person coming. If there's something wrong, you'll avoid them until. When you're chilling in that relationship, watch out, you see. Because what happens if we don't allow, if we don't respond to the thermostat that tells us when our peace is taken away at that time, before you know it, that relationship, either Godward or otherward, will become bitter cold. Then you really have a problem. So peace is a very sensitive thermostat if we will listen. If we will stay tuned in to the minute that peace is gone, find out what happened. That's a provision and that's a promise for you as his child. can walk in peace. It's precious. Don't let anything. I remember one time when I was kind of getting on to this. The Lord usually teaches me whatever he has to teach me in very simple ways. I don't know why. But anyway, he does. I remember I was going to the doctor. I was pregnant with one of the children. And lo and behold, I was running late, and there was a cement truck right in front of me. Well, I was all hemmed in, because I was on the inner lane, and here's this cement truck behind. And the time was going, you know, I was getting later and later and later, and here's this cement, and here I am all hemmed in. And I'm beginning to get uptight. And there wasn't anything I could do about it, but I was getting uptight anyway. Of course, I was going to have to wait an hour and a half when I got there, but I was getting uptight. And you know, just as clear as a bell, the Lord said to me, Johnny, just like he was chiding me, Johnny, you mean you're going to let some man in that truck that you don't even know his name take something as precious as your peace? That's a little ridiculous, isn't it? Well, I thought, you mean he really means that I'm to walk in that kind of peace? Well, I don't even let things like that upset me. Father, you really have provided a wonderful, wonderful gift when you gave me your peace. I mean, it's so funny. One thing that's come to me twice, and I didn't want to take the time to tell it because it's such a simple little thing, but maybe, just maybe, it'll relate to somebody. But I can remember many years ago, this is another illustration of how simply he teaches me things. I was doing the dishes one morning. Peter was off to work and the kids were gone to school, and I was doing the dishes. And you know, when there's something wrong, you don't know what it is, but you know there's something wrong. Well, as I was doing the dishes that morning, I just had this feeling. Something's wrong. I was disturbed, but I didn't know what it disturbed me. And I said, Father, what's going on? I'm just disturbed, and I don't know why. And do you know what he brought to my mind? He brought to mind the crossword puzzle. Now, I knew very good and well. I know that it's not a sin to work a crossword puzzle. But as I thought about it, as I let him talk to me, he reminded me that I had gotten at that point in time to where I couldn't wait to get Peter out the door and the kids off to school, and I grabbed the crossword puzzle. I mean, that was the first thing I did in the morning. Now, was there anything bad wrong with that? Not really, except we have a jealous God. You know, you think about it, I can't believe I had allowed that to take the place or come before my time with the Lord. You say, oh, Johnny, how could you do that? Peter often talks about people that read the newspaper and say they don't believe a word of it, but don't have time to read the Bible that they believe is true from cover to cover. You know? Well, I had slipped into that. Just slid into it very easily. But God knew that our relationship was cooling off a little. If it had been as vibrant as it should have been, I could have done the crossword puzzle later. But my priorities had just gotten messed up. Now that is a wonderful Lord that gives us a gift, puts within us a mechanism that sensitive that will warn us at the cooling off stage before the bitter cold stage comes. What a loving Father. And what a gift this peace. Do you walk in peace? Are you experiencing peace with Him? Well, I want to say one more thing about peace before I get into the next point, but I want you to see and just accept it as a statement right now if you don't see it yet, but it is true. Lack of peace is not determined by your circumstances. You might be saying, if my husband just made a little more money, I wouldn't be disturbed. Well, honey, there's a lady sitting across the table from you, probably, or somewhere in this room. Husband makes all kind of money, and she's still worried. Or you might say, if I could just have a bigger house where there'd be room for everybody and everything, then I'd be happy and peaceful. I'm telling you that that house does not determine your peace. It's your attitude toward your circumstances. Because there are people probably in this room that have been in every circumstance the other of us have been in and have experienced God's peace in that very situation. You say, oh, if I just had a sweet, quiet husband. My husband will not talk to me. I need him to talk to me. Across the table is somebody that says, if my husband would just be quiet. I am sick and tired of him telling me everything over and over and over again. No, your peace is not determined by how much he talks or doesn't talk. Your peace is something that is not dependent on circumstances. I'll be sharing with you some of my testimony. And I remember when the Lord first began trying to show me this. I didn't want peace. I wanted to be mad. And I didn't want peace. I wanted to be bitter. And I just kept, and I didn't want peace. I wanted to be afraid. Now, that doesn't make a bit of sense, but when the Lord began putting his finger on those things in my life, I began justifying why they were there. I hung on to them. Like, well, I have a right. After all, if they didn't do so and so, and I hung on to those things rather than accept his peace. Now, after we've established peace with God, we need to establish peace with ourselves. Because until we have peace within ourselves, we're not going to be able to relate properly to other people. A lot of times we try to get relationships with other people straightened out, and we're not at rest within ourselves, and we'll really not be able to do that for a long period of time. Can I have just a few more minutes? Okay, well, let me just say, the only way that you will be able to find peace within yourself, with yourself, is to get honest and let God show you what he sees. So then you can deal with the issue. Now, I had been a very sincere Christian from the time I received the Lord. And when I heard God had a plan for my life, I was all gung-ho for God's plan. And lo and behold, I found out first year I was in college that God's plan for me was, part of it was to be a pastor's wife. So now I'm not only committed to being a good Christian, I'm committed to being the best pastor's wife anybody ever had. Well, we hadn't been married but 13 months, and here came number one. 13 months later, here came number two. And I was up to here in my new commitment to be a godly mother. Well, it was during that time, Peter was at seminary. We had two small children. And he was gone all week. He just came home to us on the weekend. So I had the opportunity to be Miss Preacher all week. And I just loved it. I really enjoyed that. Because I was convinced that Jesus was the answer for every problem you had. And I love sharing that. Well, it was during this time that I began having physical problems. I would just I'd black out walking across the room. When Peter found that out, and here he was gone all week, I had a car. I didn't have a car 1 out of 3 weeks. Didn't have a telephone. And we lived on the side of a road. No house in shouting distance. So he decided I better get to a doctor fast and find out what was going wrong with me. And we did. I went to the Dr. Ostner Clinic in New Orleans. Well, honey, it was one of those deals where they start at the head and go to the bottom. And I can remember thinking, you know, I sure hope some surgeon here can cut out my problem. Well, much to my humiliation, I didn't end up in the surgeon's office. I ended up in the psychiatrist's office being told that I was having a breakdown. I couldn't figure that out. How in the world, if Jesus is the answer, and I believe in Jesus, what am I doing having a nervous breakdown? I couldn't figure that out. And it wasn't until after shock treatment and insulin treatment that the Lord was able to communicate with me what was really the problem. You know, we seem to live on two different levels at the same time. I was not a hypocrite. I sincerely enjoyed this life. But the truth was, there was a me down inside that I did not reckon with. I wouldn't have lied to you, but I had thoroughly deceived myself. And one day, something came up, and as a matter of fact, it was when I was recuperating from the nervous breakdown. And I was at my mother-in-law's. She was helping with the children and so forth, and we were good buddies. And she came in one morning to cheer me up, I'm sure, and she just made the dumbest statement. She said, you know, Johnny, when you get to heaven, you're not going to get a bit of credit for being sweet. she said, you're just naturally that way. Now, what she was saying is I'm going to get a lot of credit for it because it comes hard for me. Well, what she didn't know for a long time was that when she said that, something stood up inside of me about 12 feet tall and said, well, I better get credit for it. Nobody knows how hard it is. Wow. And I began thinking about some of those things I better get credit for. How many times I bit my tongue and fought through that thing and figured out what I ought to say and said it. There were a lot of things that came to my mind. And one of them was that pile of dirty clothes in the bathroom every morning when I went in there. I think, who does he think I am anyway? Rachel the maid? Guess where they were every morning on the floor? Right in front of the dirty clothes hamper. That's where they were. I would stew. But he didn't know I stewed. Because somewhere somebody communicated to me that it means you are a really good Christian if you just stuff it and act right. Well, honey, I had stuff and stuff and stuff until there wasn't room for any more. That's when the fuse blew. Now, some of you have already just said, I can see it. Some of you have just said, I don't relate to that at all. I'm one of those that just tells it like it is. None of this stuff and stuff for me. Well, let me tell you. I found out that it doesn't matter if you stuff it or tell it like it is. We've both got the same problem. And guess what that is? That's that me down inside there. That's got to be reckoned with. That me. Because the truth was, I did enjoy that life.
because although I didn't explore it, there were things that I had never allowed myself to look at down inside. There was a subconscious unrest that I had never seen. So what I did was, as I found myself thinking this way, I was appalled, really. And I said, God, I guess you better show me what you see when you look in my heart, not what I think I am, and not what everybody else thinks. Because some way, in a way I had never really recognized before or realized in such a way, I knew that one day I was going to have to face him. And I was going to have to give an account of what he saw when he looked at me. And at that point, it wouldn't matter what you thought about me. And it really wouldn't matter what I thought about me. Because what was really going to matter was what he saw when he looked at my heart. Some way I knew that I would not experience peace again. Or the kind of peace my heart longed for, if I didn't face me, come to peace with myself. So that morning, the Lord led me to take a pencil and a piece of paper, and then the two of us took a little walk through the different areas of my life. And you know what he showed me? He showed me those things that had taken my peace away. The first thing he put his finger on, and I'm taking you at your word, and I'm going to take a few minutes here, okay? Okay. Don't y'all take her peace away. And I won't let you take mine, so we're there. But first thing he put his finger on was my relationship with my husband. And I said, but Lord, you don't ever hear me arguing and carrying on with Peter. What do you mean my relationship with my husband? That finger didn't budge. And he brought up words like resentment and bitterness. Well, every instance that he brought to mind that I had responded resentfully or with a bitter attitude, I just had a very good reason. Finally, I said, when it looked like I wasn't going to talk him out of it, I said, well, Lord, I wouldn't be resentful if he didn't do the things he does. Now, why was he so insistent that I look? You see, he started calling it resentment because he knew I wouldn't even consider bitterness. But before he got through, before he got through, I had to pick up that pencil and write, I am bitter towards Peter. Why? Because he knew that if I didn't look honestly at myself, that I would never have peace. That was very hurtful. It was hard for me to deal with, to admit. And then what was worse, I had to admit it as if I was the one that had sinned. Now, I really didn't like that. But if I'm going to come to peace and experience any peace, I'm going to have to look at it like God looks at it. And I'm going to have to agree with God that what he says he sees is really there. Is he being unfair to me? I thought he was. And I, right at the beginning, I tried to tell him so. But you see, I came to find out that it was his love. Because he knew. See, look, I had held on to that, as subconsciously as it was, I had held on to my justification for the attitudes and feelings I had to the point that I'd had a breakdown. And yet I was trying to justify the reason I felt like I did. You know, we do some funny thinking sometimes, don't we? Turn it loose. Now, I'm talking about a situation that was between me and my husband at that time. This is a principle that God just used our relationship to teach me, the principle that you cannot allow any resentment and bitterness in your heart, or you will pay the price for it. So release it. Turn it loose. You will never walk in peace. You will never find peace in this troubled world if you're going to hang on to the resentments and the bitternesses that are going to come to you from unfair situations. Because there are going to be unfair situations on your job and in your home, within your family. This world just isn't a fair world. You need to accept that and decide how you're going to deal with it. Are you going to be resentful all your life? Because the scripture tells us, because that's just a synonym for bitterness, the scripture tells us that a root of bitterness not only defiles us, but many others. Turn it loose. There's nothing worth the price of your peace. Turn it loose. There's nothing worth the price in exchange for peace. Now, the wonderful thing about this is true whether it's some very heavy bad relationship, or if it's just a little thing that comes up, which can be the beginning of a bad relationship. You deal with it now. Face up to it.
Yes, I do still really have unforgiveness toward my sister. When we were growing up, she always got the best of everything. Or the truth is, since I was in my home growing up, I've never been able to love my father. He was so cruel. For the things he did to me, there's no way I could forgive him.
Oh, yes, there is. And I want to tell you about it before you leave here. How you can experience peace in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. Let God show you what He sees. And it can very well be different than what you think you are. Because I remember as I was trying to justify my attitudes toward Peter, the Lord told me, He said, you know, I'm not impressed at all with your sweetness. Because what I see when I look in your heart is that resentment and bitterness. That's what I see. You see, I had a misconception. I thought the harder it was to push stuff down, the better Christian that makes you. Not so. No, we need to be realistic and look at it and deal with it. And we'll talk about that later. Okay? I want to encourage you to do whatever it takes to arrive at peace within yourself. That is a promise from God, and that is a provision for every single one of you. Lay hold on it. Whatever it takes, don't stop until you have let the Lord show you what He sees. And then He'll tell you what to do. But quit hiding from yourself. I want us to close. And I want to ask you, if there's any way that you honestly can do this, would you find some little, well, during devotions in the morning, there's a time set aside. If you haven't done this before devotion time in the morning, I'd like to ask you, would you ask God to show you what He sees? Because I want to tell you, He sees those things that are disturbing your peace. And He will show you not only what they are, but how to take care of them, because He wants you to experience peace. Remember the words of tranquility? Serenity? Quiet? Deep inside? Rest? Are you at rest inside? have trouble going to sleep because there's some old records that you play every night. There are a few buttons that you know, all you have to do is punch one of those buttons and the old wheels go to turn. No, there's rest for you. Peace, regardless of what trouble you are in. You say, oh, Johnny, you don't know what I'm in the midst of. You have no idea. I don't, but he does. And his provision is the same. And I want you to know that. And walk in it. Because I want to tell you. Some of the things that we'll be talking about tomorrow make it all so worthwhile. And the way he's planned to do it for us is super. It is so wonderful.